Please prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
I'm Grace Bella Harmon, board certified dance movement therapist and embodied grief guide. Body Grieves, Spirit Calls is an open exploration of the connection between grief, embodiment, and spirituality. I believe the grieving is an inherently sacred process that deserves and requires its own attention and energy to fully integrate. Through personal stories, reflections, and interviews, I seek to highlight the ways in which grief can bring us home to our bodies and to a deeper connection with the spirit that holds us all. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Body Grieve Spirit Calls. Welcome to the last episode of this season, which is a Q&A. This is the first episode that I've recorded of this nature, and it's a collection of different questions that people have dropped on my Instagram, which is at Move Your Grief, if you haven't followed me yet, over the last few months. And so I'm just going to take some sweet, juicy time to answer some questions for y'all that have been coming up and that continue to come up sort of in waves. And so whether or not you're listening to this close to the release date, it will, I'm sure, resonate in some way. So let's get started. The first question is how to access grief without coercing it. And I followed up with this person and they confirmed that they meant allowing it without forcing it. So how do you allow grief to be here, to be present, without forcing it to come out? And this is a really interesting and I think really important question, because so often our response to grief in this Western patriarchal capitalistic context is to stuff it down until inevitably it explodes in some way, as all emotions do, right? The only place that grief gets to go if you don't make room for it to release is deeper and deeper into the body. And so how do you access this grief without forcing it? I think it's a really interesting exploration into what does it mean to force emotion, right? The reality is that if you are feeling grief, then the only thing you could do, basically, it's impossible to force grief that you're not feeling, right? It is inauthentic to try to force yourself to feel it if it's not actually there. But what I think this question is tapping into is this sort of deeper level fear of, if I invite my grief forward, does that mean that I'm messing up the process or forcing something to be there that's not? You can't force grief to be there that's not there. If you're inviting grief forward, that means that and something comes up, your body responds in some way. A memory comes up, a sensation happens, an image comes through, whatever it is. It means that it's there. And I challenge you to find a single human being who doesn't have some level of grief stored deep in their tissues, right? So what I always say is that grief needs containment and containers. So that can be with another person, that can be with a space holder, a therapist, an embodied grief guide, like the woman who's speaking to you, or it can be with friends, spiritual community. But first and foremost, it has to be with yourself, right? It doesn't have to be hard or complicated to attend to your grief. Again, we tend to believe that if we let ourselves feel grief, then we will just break down and not be able to get back up. And the reality is, the more that we let ourselves feel grief intentionally, the more that we create specific time and space around grief, the easier it becomes to both be present with grief in the moment and be present with the rest of our lives as they unfold throughout the day. And so I would just invite you to play this edge for yourself, yeah? To practice the invitation, to practice inviting grief forward, and practice responding accordingly to what happens. So if you are sitting or standing or laying down and you touch a part of your body that feels comforting, and you ask grief, what do you need today? Or how do you need me to be? Or what would you like to show me? And then slow down and really listen to the response with your whole body, knowing that as an emotion, it may not be communicating in words. It may communicate in sensation or images or sound. And just see what the response is. And if there's no response, that means there's nothing here today. It doesn't mean there won't be anything here tomorrow or later today or next week or next year. It just means that for right now, grief is okay. It's satisfied. And you can just give that part of your body some love, say thank you, and continue on with the rest of your day. So that's what I would encourage you. Okay. The next question is about how do you grieve your maiden as you become a mother? And this is a question, this specific phase of life is sort of what I am personally moving into as I prepare to become a mother. So I'm still in my maiden phase and have yet to become a mother. But I do have a lot to say about grieving a transition, specifically one like this that, you know, if you're asking for a baby and you're ready and baby comes, it tends to be viewed as only a joyous occasion. And maybe that's most of it, right? And it's also true that there is still grief. There is still loss in moving to a different phase of life and not being the same, right? Motherhood changes everything. It changes your body. It changes your relationships. It changes your energy level. It changes your capacity, your skill set, right? Everything about who you were is different. And this transition and all transitions deserve to be really attended to with an understanding of the fullness and the wholeness of this time. So it's not just joyful. And if you're a mother and you weren't planning on it, or you're a mother and you didn't want to be necessarily, but you are, then even more reason to really let yourself grieve. And the best way that I know how to do this is with ritual. So I would invite you to gather, doesn't have to be a lot of people, but gather a circle. It could be just two people, if that's who's available, to really hold this space with you, who can really witness you, yeah, and who can really be container holders for you in this time. And I would invite you to gather some objects or pictures or something that just calls to your attention the previous phase, the phase that you are grieving. And this can be applied to lots of different transitions, right? This can be applied to the transition from a single person to someone in a long-term partnership. This can be applied to moving to a job that has changed you in a lot of ways. This could be applied to becoming a caretaker in ways that you weren't before, right? There's so many transitions that we as humans move through throughout the lifespan, and almost none of them get the full amount of sacredness that they really deserve. So this is your opportunity to be intentional with and about this transition. And it doesn't matter how long it's been, right? If there is a part of you, even just a tiny glimmer, that perks up or that feels heard when I talk about these other transitions, I invite you to lean into that and know that the body moves in spiraling cyclical time, not linear time. So attending to this past part of you in the present moment is perfect. And so I would invite you to gather pictures, objects, anything that kind of calls to the surface this time of life that you're grieving. And there might be song that comes through. There might be dance. But I just invite you to set the container intentionally. You might burn things. You might call on ancestral or spiritual support. You might thank the land that you're on, the stewards of the land, however it arises for you authentically. And then I just invite you to allow yourself to speak both to the people that you're with, to yourself, and to this past version of you. Drop in and say what needs to be said. And then allow the space to hold whatever needs to come through. So maybe, again, that looks like reading a poem or asking somebody else to read or hold something for you. It may look like doing some group song or movement. You may want to plan it, or it may evolve naturally, right? This is your practice. You can also do this alone if that feels more comfortable. But I do invite the witnessing, because that just gets to that deeper human level that we just can't get to alone. And that also allows the loop to close even more completely when it's seen and witnessed by people who can really see you and see you shedding and see you grieving and releasing and renewing in all of the ways that might show up in the ceremony. And then you can decide to close it however you want to. The important thing is to open it intentionally and to close it intentionally. And know that whatever comes through in the middle is exactly right, and that you are held and guided. I hope that's helpful. I could go on for a long time about that one. Okay, the next one is about the difference between grief and trauma. This wasn't a direct question, but it's something that I wanted to speak to because I see it sort of getting conflated a lot. And I wanted to just speak to this because I am a grief specialist. I can easily help people process trauma, but my focus is grief. And I want to just name that because the way to work with grief and trauma in the body is fundamentally different. So grief happens. Some grief, some loss is traumatic. Not all of it is. And though trauma often has grief interwoven with it, they are not the same thing in how you work with it in the body safely and effectively and ethically. So when I'm working with someone and helping them move their grief and attend to their grief, I am going right to the grief, right? So I'm inviting right from the get-go the person to invite their grief forward, sit with it, and then allow them to move towards it intuitively as they feel called to, right? So we're going straight to the heart of it. We're not dancing around it. We're not being delicate with it. We are creating a container for the grief to come forward, express itself, and be processed as it needs to in that moment on that day. When I work with people on their trauma, or when I have in the past, the practice is quite different because it's really about going slow. If you have unprocessed trauma in your body and you go right to the grief, the response from your body might be so overwhelming that it will actually make you dissociate, meaning leave your body in some way. And that is not therapeutic. It is not therapeutic to go to the fullest extent and have a full body experience that leaves you feeling raw and wrecked and open and unable to close yourself back, right? So with everyone who I work with, this moving their grief is a very opening experience, right? The dissociating is different because it is the experience of leaving your body while it's open. And so when I work with people with their trauma, the work is in helping you very slowly and gently widen your nervous system's capacity to to be with yourself, to be with your experience, to be with your expression without shutting down or dissociating, or leaving your body in some way. So I wanted to just name that because sometimes people just say sort of grief and trauma, grief and trauma, grief and trauma in the same sentence all the time because, yes, they are so interconnected. But if I choose to work with someone who has complex trauma, I always ask about their history. I always let them know. I let everyone know exactly what to expect. And if I choose to work with them, then I know that we're going to be going at a much slower pace at the beginning because I know that that's what the body needs. That's what the body needs to feel safe enough to open on its own time and on its own terms. And that is the most important thing. Okay. The last question is, how does alcoholism impact grief? These are some hard-hitting questions, y'all. Okay. Alcoholism and grief. And you could say this with any addiction and grief. But the thing that's most important is that if you have an experience of addiction, particularly a long-standing one, you have created a practice, created a pattern in your body of covering up likely pain that's there, right? People use, people drink for all kinds of reasons. I have no judgment at all about that. But that is just the reality, right? That it's almost always a response to grief, loss, trauma, pain. That feels unsteady and disarming and not safe to be with fully. So cover it up, drink too much, and you know, it can go down a long and hard spiral. And so it's really vital that when somebody is processing their grief and they have this history, that they are sober, I think. Because, again, not everybody has an addiction to alcohol, but if you have alcoholism and you are not sober, and you're not, you're just not as embodied, not as present in your body, and not as available. All the parts of you just aren't as available to really process your grief. And it's deep, deep, deep work, right? I always ask about other support that people have, whether that's, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous or something else, because I want to make sure that there is a place for you to go. There are people that can hold you around this specific thing. Because alcoholism and addiction is not my expertise. Of course, I've worked with plenty of people who have struggled with this, but that's not my expertise. So I want to make sure that they have support from people who it is their expertise. And of course, they are deeply interconnected. So the way that I would say alcoholism impacts grief is that at first it can make it harder to access, and that when you're not drinking or not using, that the grief can come on really, really, really strong. Because you've spent time, I don't know how much time, everyone's time is different, but you've spent time covering it up in your body, right? You've spent time trying to self-soothe in this way. And it's really hard. It's really, really challenging. And that's why it is so incredibly vital to be with and work with a skilled practitioner who is here to hold you and who knows what they're doing around grief, and who you feel, who your body feels safe around. Okay, those are all of the questions for today, my friends. It's been an honor to have the conversations that I've had over this season with all these amazing guests. Thank you so, so much for tuning in and subscribing and sharing it and leaving reviews. It's all so, so, so helpful. I so appreciate it. And I wanted to just name that if you are ready and you want to get some embodied grief guidance for yourself, I have availability to see people one-on-one in my Moving Into Wholeness program, which comes in a 3 or 6 month package. And I'm also guiding a really sweet Move Your Grief gathering in Corbett, Oregon on Sunday, July 2nd. That'll be a very intimate gathering. There aren't many spaces, but I will leave the link to both of those in the show notes if you are curious and you have interest in processing your grief in this way. All right, friends, the next season will probably start in September. So until next time, it's going to be really good. I've already started interviewing people. And until then, I'm sending you all so much love, and I hope you enjoy your break, your summer, your time. And I look forward to connecting with you in whatever way feels right to you. You are most welcome, by the way, to send me a question for a future Q&A on my Instagram at moveyourgrief, or in an email, which is grace@gracebellaharmon.love. I will leave all of that in the show notes. I love you, and I will look forward to connecting soon. Thank you, dear listener, for going on this journey with me. Much gratitude to Beautiful Chorus and Naomi Westwater for the beautiful opening and closing music. If you resonate with this podcast, you can show your appreciation by leaving a generous review and by sharing it with your communities. You can also join my Grief Village community on Patreon, where we have twice monthly Move Your Grief circles, a monthly Q&A, and an ever-growing collection of meditations, practices, and other resources. Details to join, as well as more information about my work, are in the show notes. Thank you for your support. Until next time, have a soulful day.